Bible while you're standing, and we will go ahead and read our scripture. Turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter number 2 tonight. With the Lord as my helper, we'll be there. This one we're going to be learning. That's one we're going to be learning. Hey, that's not a pick it or flick it, that's a keep it. Turn me down just a minute. I've got a private conversation with Scott up here, and everybody's going to hear it. Be back on. Good evening.
Amen.
What a blessing to be back in the Lord's house this evening. I trust that you've had a good week thus far. I hate that we had to cancel the service Sunday, and we probably could have had church, but there were several of the low-lying areas that were definitely underwater, and we erred on the side of caution, and hopefully and prayerfully, you guys that had the water issues. I know Brother Jody and Jamie kind of live in a low area, maybe a floodplain, but God just spared them, and I'm thankful for that. But we probably could have come on over here, and some of you diehard people would have been here. Ain't no doubt in my mind we'd have had good attendance if we'd have said we're going to come. I don't care if it's tropical storm or monsoon or what, you'd have come anyway. But I hope that you enjoyed the time with your family. And then I apologize to you. I've been to church Monday and Tuesday night because there was a revival going on in the air. Brother Ricky Gravely was in the area. I should have announced that to you because I know y'all love Brother Ricky and Miss Nolita Gravely from Rossville, Georgia Bible Baptist Church. But anyway, he was up at Cherry Grove, and I know some of you did make that revival up there, and it was a blessing being able to be there. But boy, ain't nothing like Calvary. I'm going to be honest with you. There's no place like home. Dorothy said that in the land of Oz, there's no place like home. And boy, I find it to be true. There's just no place like home. And I love y'all, and it's always a blessing to be able to stand before you. We'll go ahead and read this scripture. It's going to be chapter number 2. And we'll pick up the reading in verse number 42. Let me just read from 38 through the end of that chapter. And then, I don't know if you've got one of the little church covenants in your Bible. Some of you, I handed those things out. We had them laminated and handed them out years ago. You might have one. If you don't, maybe you can look over my shoulder and see that one. I had one and I've lost it. But anyway, I might get one from somebody that's got one. Brother Derek's already got me one. I can read his and maybe he can read off of that. I can read it from here, but there's a glare across it from the light because I'm going to read that tonight. We've got some new folks that's come on, and for Bill and Candace and the rest of you that might consider yourselves new around here, it does us good to look at that once in a while. Tonight, the scripture is going to be the blueprint for our church. And you say, well, hey, we already got the blueprints for the new church. This is the blueprints for the spiritual Calvary. And God's going to help us. I told Brother Kenny a while ago, I said, it just seems like I keep preaching to the church. And that's what God keeps sending, so that's what we'll keep doing until he changes my mind or heart. It seems like that's what he's been sending here lately. But anyway, we will read the scriptures, and then I'll read that in just a moment, and then we'll go ahead and bring a message about the blueprint that God put upon my heart. The Bible said, then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they gladly received his word and were baptized, and the same day there were about added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfast, and this will begin the text, actually. The next five verses will become the text for the message tonight. He said, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them out to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Brother Lewis, ask God to bless us, my friend. Tonight as I preach, you're going to see many of the attributes of the covenant mentioned in the message tonight. Come on in, Brother Chris. Come up here and sit in the front. Come on up here. Brother Chris has already been to church. He preached tonight over at Pleasant Valley, and they started a little earlier than we did. They started at, 7 o'clock, Brother Chris, and you're already over here. You must have been short-winded. You saved those long-winded messages for us. You just preached fast. Well, thank you for being here. Did you forget your Bible? You need one? Did you leave it over there? I'm sorry. Somebody else left theirs here. Many of the attributes that are in the covenant, and listen, if it bears importance enough, Brother Keith, for us to put it in a 5-foot by 6-foot frame on the wall, then it's important. It must be important. It's no more important than these Ten Commandments, because without that law, we don't even know that we've got a church, because when we break that, there is none of that. Because the first two words, church covenant, means church, means us, the blood-washed saints of God, the ones that have been redeemed. We are the church, and that covenant is nothing more than an agreement among the people in that church. So I will take this tonight and read it, and if you don't have one of these, I would be glad to get with you. I mean, we've got a laminator down in the church library. If you need one of these or you want one of them to stick in your Bible, it makes a great bookmark. If you'd like to have one of these, we'll take it downstairs. We'll burn some copies of it. We'll heat that laminator up, and we'll make as many of them as we need to satisfy the masses. But anyway, there has to be some type of an agreement. We have to be in agreement on certain issues. How many of you in here tonight, if 50% of you had voted for myself as your pastor, and the other 50% had voted against me to become your pastor, then it's likely we'd have had some problems whenever I became your pastor. And just suffice it to say that if half the church is in one agreement of an issue and then the other half is in an agreement on disagreement on that same issue, you're going to have problems within the church house. Well, here's what it says. Having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and on the profession of our faith, having been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, we do now in the presence of God, angels, and this assembly most solemnly and joyfully enter into the covenant one with another as one body in Christ. We engage, therefore, by the aid of the Holy Spirit. And that part's very important. If it just said we engage to walk together in Christian love, you've left out the key ingredient in that particular second paragraph, because we can't do that in ourselves. It said we engage, therefore, by the aid of the Holy Spirit. And we can do these things in the Spirit where we can't do it alone, Brother Tanner. We can do it in the Spirit. It's hard for you to love your enemies. And there's some people you just don't like. I'm being honest with you. You just don't like them. You don't want to be in their presence. You love them. You love them with a Christ-like love, and you'd do anything for them, but you just don't like being around them. And that's just a point blank the way it goes. You've got a personality difference. They're a type A and you're a type A, and two type A's don't make a positive. It makes a negative out of it, and it just don't work out. So what do? You do like Paul and Barnabas. You just kind of part ways. You go that way, I'll go this way, and that's just the way it works, and you still love each other. But anyway, it says, having been led, we engage, therefore, by the aid of the Holy Spirit to walk together in Christian love, to strive for the advancement of this church in knowledge, in holiness and comfort, to promote its prosperity and spirituality, to sustain its worship, its ordinances, disciplines, and doctrines, to contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, the expenses of the church, the relief of the poor, the spread of the gospel through all nations. We also engage to maintain family and secret devotions, to religiously educate our children, to seek the salvation of our kindred and acquaintances, to walk circumspectly in the world, and to be just in our dealings, faithful in our engagements, exemplary in our deportment, and to avoid all tattling, backbiting, and excessive anger, to abstain from the sale and the use of intoxicating drink as a beverage, to shun pornography, and to be zealous in our efforts to advance the kingdom of our Savior. We further engage to watch over one another in brotherly love, to remember each other in prayer, to aid each other in sickness and distress, to cultivate Christian sympathy in feeling and courtesy in speech, to be slow to take offense, but always ready for reconciliation, and mindful of the rules of our Savior to secure it without delay. We moreover engage that when we remove from this place, we will as soon as possible unite with some other church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's Word. So tonight I want to lay out, if you will, just for a little bit, the blueprint for the modern spiritual church. And I believe God will help us tonight. And if He does help us, then bless God, something will be accomplished. If I do it in my flesh, guess what? You're getting ready to see a train wreck of a monumental proportion, because I'll fall flat on my face. But there's some things that every church must have, or should have anyway. I say they must have. Must is a term that I put my tongue in my cheek and say that. Some of them are still a church, but they just don't have them. I've been around, Brother Chris. You've been around here lately. You've been to many churches here lately, and you would have to say amen. If you've never said amen before, you would say amen right here. They're not all Calvary. I thought I would get one. But anyway, they're not all Calvary. You can go throughout the county. And Brother Keith, it's different at Walnut Grove where you grew up than it is here. It's different at Mountain Valley where I last pastored than it is here. We went to Cherry Grove two nights this week, and it's different there than it is over here. We were down at Rachel just a couple weeks back, and it's different at Rachel than it is up here. Maybe it's because that this is where my heart is, but it's so much different here than anywhere that I go. And I'm not saying that we're the greatest, but we're all part of the same body. But there's a few attributes that have to be in my heart, in my mind, that have to be in the local assembly for us to have what we've got right here. Brother Lewis, first and foremost, there must be some life in there. There's enough dead, dried up, yesterday has been washed up, eaten on ashes, feeding on yesterday's manna. Churches around here, Brother Steve, bless God, it's canned sermons. It's everybody going to stand up. Everybody knows what they're going to do. You know who's going to preach, who's going to pray. You know what they're going to sing. Brother Reggie, you'd have been plumb out of turn to say, Brother Scott, can we sing one more? Because that wouldn't have been a part of the schedule. Bless God, if we're going to have life, that life's going to show up into services, and that life will show up in the congregation. It's not going to just show up into service, but it's going to show up into pews. And where there's life, bless God, I'm going to tell you, there has to be some blood. Because if you drain all the blood out of my body, Brother Tam, guess what? I'm a dead man walking. There ain't no blood in me. But bless God, to have life, you got to have blood. And bless God, where the blood's been applied, bless God, there is no sin. Because the Bible said that the shedding of blood, and without that shedding, there is no remission for sin. So whenever I look into the Bible tonight, there's got to be some life. I don't need no dead, dried up place up here for Ryan to come and raise your grandbabies. Avery needs to know that there is a God in heaven, and that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and that son loved us so much, bless God, that he gave us his life. Hey, it'll be a little life in the church house. There ought to be some excitement around God's place, Brother John. There ought to be a place when you walk in the door, you ought to feel the excitement. The choir up here at Cherry Grove last night, that's what I was handing Brother Scott. They sang a song last night that they'll never crucify him again. And bless God, we're going to learn that song. It's not a pick it or flick it. Bless God, we're going to put that in the book. Because they will never crucify him again. And whenever they got to singing that, man, that thing, it was just like you'd plugged an electric fence box in. That thing had some juice on it. There was power in that song whenever they were singing it. Wasn't it, Brother Tam? I mean, bless God, it was a powerful song. But that enthusiasm, that excitement, it's because there's life there. Amen. You ever been around something dead? Man, funeral homes anymore, Brother John, there ain't even any sanctity in death. There's nothing holy in death anymore. You go to the funeral home, Brother John, everybody laughing and carry on. And I went to one, Cindy's grandma was a big cut up. You knew that's going to come out, Miss Cindy. You might as well get used to it. We went to Cindy's grandma's funeral on her daddy's side, and grandma was a cut up. Miss May, she cut up from all her life. She was a cut up. She was a jokester, and she just rip you right up. And she was a funny person. She'd call me up and say things I can't even repeat in the pulpit. She was just a funny person. But when we got over there, everybody over there, all her cousins are setting each other's rear ends on fire with cigarette lighters. And Brother John, they spraying each other's rear ends with a new leather smell and all this crazy stuff. And everybody having a good old time right there. And grandma's laid out in there in the box. Let me tell you, there's no sanctity in death. But anymore, there's no sanctity in life, because people are going to kill the baby, whether it's in the womb or ready to come out of the womb. Brother Tam, there's nothing holy anymore. Everything's been profaned. But bless God, there ought to be a little bit of holiness when it comes to God's house. There should be some life out here. It's not just life. There ought to be a little bit of love. And we're going to get through all these things real quick. Love, you said, what is that? It's not fighting and fussing all time over the least little things in the church house. There ought to be some life. There ought to be some love amongst the believers. There ought to be some laborers or workers in the pews. There ought to be people like Brother Robbie's getting his showing his heart, and people stepping up and doing work in the van ministry. And then also, there ought to be a little bit of liberty. And bless God, the Bible said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There ought to be liberty. I don't care who's doing the preaching, if it's you or you or you. There ought to be liberty in that holy place. Bless God, you ought to be unrestricted. You ought to be loosed, and your tongue ought to be loosed in the Word of God. And when you get up there, you ought to just rear back and preach it. If it hits the devil and every demon in hell, if it hits every one of us broadside, up one side, down the other, you ought to be able to preach it without any reservation. It's like the preacher said last night, without any apology. Don't apologize for what you preach. Just preach it, and preach it bold, and then let God sort it all out. This is a blueprint. We're going to get back into the Word, because we're going to walk right down through. You're going to see the thing God will give us here. The early church in Acts, it could be, this early church could be a blueprint. You say, well, preacher, why didn't you use one out of the book of the Revelation? They all had problems. Every one of them had problems. You say, well, if we used them for a blueprint, at least we would have their good attributes. Yeah, but if we used them as a model or a blueprint, we'd take on their bad attributes. But anyway, I want you to look back into the Word of God, verse number 42. The Bible said they continued. What does the continued mean? They continued, meaning that they kept doing what they had been doing. He said they continued. What's the very next word? Steadfastly. What is steadfast? That means it's unmoved. They're unmoved or they're faithful to. So the first thing I would say is namely this. If we're going to use the first attributes of that church, then we must be steadfast. We must be faithful. And I don't just mean faithful to a few things. I mean faithful in all things. The Bible even says that it is required of a steward that he be what? That he be found faithful. If you're going to be a steward in the house of my God, if you're going to be a steward in the house of this place of worship, if you're going to assimilate with this place and say, I'm a member of Calvary Baptist Church, you ought to be faithful to Calvary Baptist Church. I've seen my members, and I call them my members. I use them this term. I am your shepherd. I am your pastor. I am the under-shepherd that God has put over you. So in that term, I'm not using it possessive. I'm not a lord over you. I have no lordship over you, but I'm your pastor. So whenever I say my sheep, listen to me this way. Brother Kippy, I've heard of my sheep over in other people's pasture on Sunday morning, and that held positions within this church. If you hold a position in this church and you are found across the county in another church house on Sunday morning and their pastor, if you don't think he knows me, you're probably wrong. I've been pastoring in the county now, Brother John, going on 20 years, and bless God, we know each other. Pastors know these things, and whenever he says, Brother Mark, I had some of you people show up Sunday morning, I'm like, well, good. Did you preach to them? He said, yeah. He said, but I asked him, are you not Calvary folk? And they said, yeah, we are. He said, then what's the problem? Why are y'all over here on a Sunday morning? And they said, well, we're just kind of looking around. He said, well, don't come back over here until you get whatever it is that's got you out looking. Don't you come back over here. Do you get fixed? Whatever's fixed, whatever's broke over there, you get that thing fixed. You know what I say to that man, Brother Kenny? I say, amen, preacher. And whenever they come over here, I want to say the same thing to them. You can ask Brother Bill back there. Brother Bill asked me, he said, Pastor, do you think that your church would receive us? I said, let me ask you a question, Brother Bill. He's shaking his head in agreement. I said, Bill, have you got problems where you come from? Bill said, no, bless God, we're leaving on good terms over there. I love the people over there, and they love me. You call their pastor. He's going to tell you the same thing. Listen, don't bring me your problems, and I won't send you to somewhere else when you take your problems over there to them. Amen. But you ought to be faithful to your church house. Ought to be faithful. Brother John, that's just a point blank. You ought to be steadfast. You ought to continue steadfastly. Look at that 42nd verse again. Bible said that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. There ought to be a little faithful devotion in this house of God. If you say that I am a Brother Chris, just for a moment, we're going to promote you. All of a sudden, Brother Chris has just now become our youth pastor. You're not just a young preacher anymore. I know you tell everybody, everywhere we go, he said, I'm a young preacher. They'll recognize all the preachers over the church house. And Brother Chris will pop up. He said, I'm a young preacher from Calvary Baptist Church. You'll have this one from over there and this one from over there. You know how they do that. Brother Chris, but just for a little while, right now, you're the youth pastor of Calvary Baptist. God, you ought to be found here on Sunday morning. I don't want to find you off over yonder on Sunday morning doing whatever it is that you're doing. You ought to be here because that's a position that you hold here. Amen. Not over yonder. Well, I'd like to go visit, then resign your position. Yes. And then go wherever you got to go, only in the Lord. But you better be led of the Lord. Yes. Second thing for our blueprint beyond the faithfulness, it's found in the next verse, the 43rd verse. It said, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Many of you would know then, if we're going to have a good church, we're going to have to be a what? A God-fearing church. Is there any fear of the Lord anymore? Brother Ricky hit a lick on that last night, didn't he, Brother Tam? There's no fear of God anymore. He said, them old-time preacher brother used to skin you alive. He said, sometimes they'd skin you in the morning and skin you at night. Sometimes they might skin you in the morning and then put a little balm on in a Sunday night. But brother, my God, where's the fear of God anymore? The Bible said, and go back with me if you want to follow or just pin this down, in the book of Proverbs in chapter number 1 and verse number 7, the Bible said that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. nation. Bless God, we ought not just be a faithful place, but bless God, we ought to be a fearful place. It ought to cause fear to these little kids that would come running through here 1,000 miles an hour. Fear not only that the preacher going to say, don't run in the church house, little Johnny. Are you the original little Johnny, by the way? You probably were. I don't know where that came from, but little Johnny, don't be running in the church house. It ought not just be fear that the pastor or a preacher or a teacher or somebody is going to catch them. It ought to be fear that a God-fearing, God-loving, Christ-honoring mama or daddy said, boy, you just wait till I get you home. I'm going to tear up little Timmy.
Yeah.
Little Timmy going to have some new ground because I'm going to plow it up. And then when I get done plowing up, I'm going to plant something in it. And bless God, that's the way I ought to be. Children anymore, Brother Kim, do not honor God's house because mom and daddy are not faithful to God's house. If the first one, you don't get that right, if you're not faithful there, you won't fear God. You won't fear the things of his house. You ought to fear God, Brother John. Why? Because that's the beginning of wisdom. That's where it starts, brother. You ought to fear God and be faithful to his place. I used to hear my preacher, Brother Jack Osborne, Steve's uncle. Brother Jack said when he was little, he was scared to death. He said, they'd catch me chewing gum in there. And he said, I'd be like, look like a cow chewing his cud. And he said, I'd pop that dentine up under the pew. And he said, as soon as they wasn't looking, he said, I'd pull out Juicy Fruit. Now listen, if you're sticking gum up under the bench, you have no fear. You have no reverence for God's house. Got caught a time or two doing that, and he had to pay the price. But there's no consequence for sin anymore. There's no consequence for wrongdoing. Therefore, they continue to do. Not only should we be faithful to the Lord's house, and not only should there be some, in that very next verse, it told you there that fear came upon all of them. Look at the next verse, verse number 44. The Bible said, and all that believed were together, and all that believed were together and had all things in common. What are you saying there, preacher? Oh, look what it said. It said they had all things in common. What's that, preacher? It means that they were in fellowship one with another. If you were to go back up to the very first one, the Bible said that they continue, in verse number 42, that they continue steadfastly in the doctrine and in what? The Bible said in fellowship. Bless God, if we're going to have a great church, not just a good church, but we're going to have a great church, Brother Bill and anybody else back through here, you're going to have to be in fellowship one with another. And don't come in here and tell me you're in fellowship. Brother James, if you won't shake that man over here's hand, you're not in fellowship with that man. You need to get together after the service and say, right now, brother, I don't know what it is, Miss Becky, but do you love me anymore? Brother Gerald, what's going on? Is there something going on that you see me coming now and you turn your back or you walk the other way? Get that thing fixed. Don't let it fester. Don't let it come between you as a wedge. Got to have good fellowship. For a great church, you're going to have good fellowship. Brother Lewis, can you go back through there tonight on any one of these pews back here and find any other believer that calls themselves a member of Calvary Baptist Church and hug their neck and responsibly tell them that you love them and mean it? Amen? I believe you can. If you can, you can. If you can't, then get that thing fixed. Because it's part of the blueprint that God's given us here tonight. The Bible said they believed and had all things together in common, which means that they didn't have a broken fellowship. And I'm telling you what, that broken fellowship will show up. You know what? You ever been to a church that you felt like maybe was out of fellowship? I know you have. I have. Some of you are like, Is that not an uncomfortable place to be? And you know the sad place that it shows up the worst and it has the most heartache? Is in the lost person. Brother John, they may have just come out of a responsibility. They may have came out of a sense of duty. But bless God, they may have come because they needed something. Right. And then they come in and there's a broken fellowship. And man, it's just something's going on in there. And maybe it's the first time they've been. Maybe they're not planning on coming back. But then they come in and they pick up on that pretty quick, that there's something just not quite right in there. I've said that about a lot of churches here lately. They just something not quite right there. I don't know what it is. I don't put my finger on it. I'm not their pastor. I don't try to figure it out, Brother Tam. I go in, I listen to the Word of God, and then I leave. I don't try to figure out their problem. I don't go to another man's pulpit and preach doctrine and try to fix all his problems. That's up to him to do that. I got enough problems of my own. But, best God, you ought to be in fellowship one with another. The Bible said, as much as lies within you, chapter number 12, verse number 13, the book of the Romans, it said, and as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. Right. Lord, just live peaceably with each other. Like I said, there's some people you just don't like. Just don't fellowship with them. Love them. I'm telling you, go out and eat with them. Don't go hang out at their house and take all their poker chips. Just don't be around them if you don't want to be around them. Verse number 45. Bible said they sold their possessions and their goods and parted them to all men as all men had need. When I read through that covenant, I think I preached on finances twice since I've been here. One of them was whenever we come through here, then one other, I preached about the truth, about the tithe. God gave me a message about the truth, about the tithe. That's the only two times. Some of them have stewardship February, and every message during the month of February is on giving. Folks, I'm glad that Calvary does not have to pay our bills on the backs of a bake sale. I'm not against having sales, and I know you guys have raised great money for missions, and you sold fish and barbecue and chicken and pinto beans. You've sold a lot of things and raised a lot of money for a lot of needs. But bless God, you weren't doing it to keep the lights on. There's a difference whenever you have to, y'all bring all your junk down here. We're going to put it over here in the side lot because we've got to pay the power bill coming up next month. Bring some brownies and bless God, you ought to give because God has prospered you. And when you give out of that, that's a type of worship from your heart, and you give as to God. Go over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, just a minute. Let's just go over there and look. Chapter number 9. Verse number 6. You say, I figured we'd get over there on that financial part. Brother Chris, you'll be faithful. You'll be fearful. You'll be in fellowship. And thank God that right now we're financially sound. Brother, we shouldn't be having to beg, borrow, and steal, and bribe, and rob to get things of God done. I'm going to be honest with you, Calvary, you people have been prospered. We have been prospered. I say we have prospered. God hath prospered us greatly. And that's just a matter of fact. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse number 7. Look what it says in verse number 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. You said that's talking about sowing corn and beans in Reggie's garden. No, it ain't. Because look what it said. He which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Listen, here's backing it up, talking about financial matters. It said, every man, according as he purposed it in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loved a cheerful giver. Now, it's up there that he would give to the support. And that second, he would be contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry and the expenses of the church and the relief of the poor and the spread of the gospel throughout all the nation. A church, if we're going to be healthy in every other way, we're going to have to be healthy financially. Why? Because we've taken on missions. We've got missionaries in different remote parts of the world, but Tim, they require that gift that we give them. Not that they desire the gift, but they desire fruit that might abound in our account. Brother Tam, they're there because of you. They're there because of you and you and me. They're there because of churches like us that have taken the spiritual and applied it to the financial. And bless God, we're healthy because of that. And then we can help those people go and spread the gospel. That's a part of that where it said, and the God spread the gospel, latter part of second verse, paragraph, gospel to all the nations. We're healthy, Brother Tam. Thank God for that. Keep going. We got another verse right below that one. Like I said, we shouldn't have to beg, bait, and bribe people just to get them to come to the Lord's house. Verse number 47. The Bible said, and they continued, I'm in 46, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and the breaking of bread from house to house did they eat their meat. With singleness of heart there, you could go back and say that they were still in fellowship one with another. And for number 47, it said, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You say, what are you talking about right there? A church that is established by the way that God would have us to build spiritually are going to be favored. Is that what it said, Brother Sam? They were favored among all the people? When people drive by here, they ought to look and say, man, that place is blessed. What do you automatically think when you drive by a church and it is church time and the parking lot is empty or nearly empty or two people there or four cars there? You think, Brother John, you know what I immediately think? I wonder what's going on. Maybe they're just having a business meeting tonight. But it's peak service time. I don't get by those churches much, Brother Tam, because I'm always over here. We have service when they do. But sometimes you'll see it on their sign. It says we're going to have an old-fashioned sin-killing, soul-stirring, heaven-sent, devil-despising revival that's going to move the heart of men. And you go by there, Brother Kenny, and there's two cars. Something's wrong. There's a little something wrong there. And I wonder, are they favored among the people, Brother Tam? Something's going on. People might have got the word that there is something wrong over there. And there is things wrong in every church. That's what I told y'all here years ago. I don't know. I didn't know that Calvary had ever had a problem. I didn't know that. Y'all kept that stuff under wraps and did it well. If you've ever had a problem and somebody come to disagreement, it did not make it very far into the community, because I'm just 20 miles down the road and I didn't hear about all the problems that anybody's ever had. Some of them, Brother John, it spreads like a kudzu or a Dollar General. I mean, them things pop up just like that. And when a problem pops up, there it comes. You hear about it, Brother John. The church ain't even empty to the people yet. And it's out there somewhere and say, oh, they had a blow up today. They've got problems today. Calvary's been blessed in that. And even whenever I came here years ago, Miss Cindy and the girls back years ago were singing. They come up here and sing for somebody. Maybe Brother Purdue was preaching or somebody. And y'all come up here and sing, because we sit right back there where Brother Steve Call's sitting tonight. We sit right back there in that corner. Man, I thought, what a powerful church. Man, it was favored. I was excited to be able to come up here and just hear the choir and be around you guys. It was exciting. Keep going. Verse number 47. The latter part of that, the Bible said that the Lord added daily to such as to the... And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Let me say this. The church was fruitful. Was it not? He added daily such as should be saved. There should be regular conversions. There should be regular attendance, but there should be regular conversions of the people that are lost. I'll tell y'all this little story I read about, an illustration about. Y'all heard of Sheffy, Brother Sheffy? Some of you have, some of you have. If you've never seen it, go down to the library and get the movie, Old Sheffy. Brother Sheffy was a circuit preacher. He would walk or he would ride or he would go from town to town. He would preach. And when he was in, he had a regular place of worship. And when he would go by there, it was said that there was an old man that always was by the stream in the same fishing spot. Brother John, every time they would come by there, Brother Sheffy would say, come on and go to the Lord's house with me. And he'd say, not this time, Brother Sheffy. He would go on his way and he would go up to the church. And the next time that he'd come through there, that little fellow would be at the same creek bank at the same spot doing the same thing, fishing. Brother Sheffy would come by and say, come on, go with me up to the Lord's house. He said, not today, Brother Sheffy. Well, it said that it went on that way for the longest of times. And Brother Chris, it come down where Brother Sheffy finally was asked a question of that man. And he said, Brother Sheffy, I've got a question for you. Why do you always go to the same church and hear the same old songs and pray the same old prayers and preach the same old sermons over and over and over and over and over again? And Brother Sheffy, in his wisdom, looked back at him and said, well, my friend, I have seen you at this same fishing hole time and time and time and time again. I could ask you, why do you fish in this same fishing hole? He says, because I catch fish here. He said, but are you not fishing in the same old waters? And the man said, sure I am. And Brother Sheffy said, that's where you're wrong. He said that the fish that you catch are in the same spot, but the waters you fish in are not the same waters. They are fresh every time you come to this pool, because the waters that you fished in yesterday or last week or last month or last year, those waters have made their way toward the sea. And each time that you come here, Brother Tam, you're fishing for the same fish, but you are fishing in something that is fresh and anew. And he told that man, and I'll tell you tonight, bless God, each time that we come here, brother, it's fresh and it's anew. It's the same old song, Brother Tam, a song sung by the same old choir. We preach the same old word of God from the old leatherback King James Bible. We hear the same old messages preached time and time and time again. But my goodness, brother, it's still fresh and it's still anew. It's still exciting and it still gets right close to my heart. And bless God, if we're going to have a healthy church, we're going to have to do the things that God has put on my heart to tell you now. Be faithful to your calling and we will be fruitful. You will be fearful. And bless God, financial will not be a problem here because you will give as God has prospered you when you give. And bless God, we're going to walk away from this thing, brother Lewis, and we're going to be excited in being a part of Calvary Baptist Church. Brother Bill's been posting on social media here lately. I don't know if the rest of you are excited about being at Calvary, but he's excited. Some of you is excited about being here. Some of you, the excitement's kind of wore off. Some of you, the excitement's worn off. You've been here for so long. Brother, don't let the excitement wear off. Brother Tim, you still like going to Calvary? Do you hang your head and say, oh, I'll go to Calvary? Honey, do you say, I'll go to Calvary? I want you to be excited. Amen. You should be excited. Brother Kenny, if you meet up with a brother in town, he says, I know that you left down at Arbor Grove. Brother, where are you hanging your hat now? Bless God, you ought to rear back and say, bless God, I've come home. Amen. I'm at Calvary now. Amen. Bless God, every road ought to lead by Calvary. Yes. This church ain't going to be for everybody. We've seen them come through here, Brother Tam. Only to park long enough for one service. And man, they couldn't get out of here fast enough, Brother Grant. We talked about that a while back. These people come through here with money. These people come through here with fame and popularity. They come through here, but they had all different things going. But when they got here, they were like, that's the wrong place. It's not for everybody. But for those of us that call it home, it ought to still excite us once in a while. On some occasion, we ought to still get excited about it. Do you still invite people to your church? Do you, Tim? If you're up at Mad Jack's and Jack comes by, do you say, come over here and worship with us, brother? If it's not exciting, you're not inviting. I promise you that. You're not. Ryan, if you come in here and every time you leave here, you leave depressed. Did you feel, you leave here. You've been in those churches where you left feeling worse going out the door than you did coming in. You needed a pick-me-up, but you left with a downer. You're not inviting people to that. I'm honest with you, preacher. You're not inviting people to that. Come over here, bless God. Get just as depressed as I am. Man, you could walk away from here being down and out and crying. Man, you can't hardly look forward to the next time you go to church because you don't know what you're going to have when you get there. That's a terrible feeling. But you ought to be excited. Or be fresh. I've noticed two things. Started out with the life, the love, and the liberty of the church. That's the one thing that I've always loved about this place. Miss Macy, go ahead. Brother Scott, is the liberty.